Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I'm a realtor with Real Broker here in Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to provide massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and find out how they've been able to achieve massive success in their business. My hope is that you take a few things away from their experiences to grow your own business. My guest today is a friend and fellow realtor, Kristen Blanchard. Kristen is licensed in Louisiana and Texas and does great production in both states. Kristen is originally from Pierrepart, Louisiana, the home of the swamp people. Welcome to the podcast, Kristen.
Thank you, Jamie. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. Yeah, when you were telling me about how you cover so much ground, I said, I got to get this down on the podcast because I'm sure other people are curious how you are licensed in two states. But
yes,
tell us how you got into the real estate business, just so we can kind of get some framework, so we can kind of hear where you came from, how you got here, how you got into the real estate business.
Sure. So I'm from Pierrepart, Louisiana, and, you know, went to college at LSU. And then my husband got transferred to work in Texas. So when we moved to Texas, he was working 4 days a week. And it was a funny story. He said, you need to find a job that you work in 4 days a week, which is not real estate, by the way. But I said, I'm going to find a job 4 days a week. He goes, because we're going home every weekend. You know, we were in Katy. And before I left, I was selling Yellow Page advertising for Etail Sunshine Pages.
Okay.
And I really enjoyed being in outside sales, being in control of my schedule, being in control of my income. I loved having the goals, reporting back in, you know, turning in my numbers. So I knew I wanted to be in sales, but I didn't know, you know, what can I sell? I don't want to do Yellow Pages. People are not using Yellow Pages.
Right.
I don't use
selling phone books.
I don't use the Yellow Pages. I can't sell this anymore. I mean, it was probably the beginning of the end for that. And then it was copier sales. And I was like, I don't want to do that. And then, I don't know, I was like, I would love to sell houses. Like, that seems fun. So I got my real estate license in Texas when we moved.
Okay.
And then, you know, it all began there. And I joined Keller Williams in Katy. You know, we lived in that area. And started my business in Texas first.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you were in kind of the Houston market first, and you expanded out from that area?
Yes. And we were only there 2 years. Oil field, you know, electrical, big contractor he works for. Then they moved him down by Corpus Christi and Rockport, Texas.
Okay.
And then went down in that area. The Keller Williams was starting to buy these other small brokerages and expand. So at first I was with, I think it was Realty World, but then it, Realty World was bought out by Keller Williams. And, you know, it worked out perfectly because I was with Keller Williams and Katy, and I could be there as well. So went down to the coast in Rockport, Corpus Christi, and we were there for 10 years before we moved to Lafayette.
Nice. That's cool. So when you moved to Lafayette, you moved directly to Lafayette. You didn't go back home at that point.
Correct. Yes.
Gotcha.
We just moved here because of my husband's
opportunity.
Right. The opportunity was here. And so this was a new area to us. It was familiar because we're both from Louisiana. So we had always traveled back and forth with the kids to visit grandmas and, you know, aunts and uncles. So my kids were familiar with it. They were in third grade, first grade, and pre-K 4 when we moved to the Lafayette area. We chose Youngsville, so we're in Youngsville now. Moved here and kept my license always in Texas, because after growing your business for 10 years and having a database there, great clients there, and I feel with all my clients, I just really get, you know, form a relationship with them and stay in touch with them. So I always kept my Texas license active.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. And I guess part of the reason for the podcast is just the curiosity that I have with the kind of where you are with both states. I'm just kind of curious, you know, how a realtor would pull off being able to be licensed in both states. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like you'd already had a nice base built in Texas and you built a good business there. And then you moved to Louisiana.
Right.
And you've developed a great business here and you've had a lot of success even as a top producer here in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. But talk to us a little bit about what it looked like for you, like, what did it look like to break into the Lafayette market?
Mm-hmm. So we're not from here. And, you know, after you've moved away for 10 years, you sort of forget how deep the roots are, I always say, in Louisiana.
Yeah.
And we love it here. And it's become, you know, home for my children. And we've made great friends and connections, great clients. But I think it's not as transient with people moving in and out for different industries and different states. You do get a lot of, you know, people from Houston and here, but they go back and forth, or maybe a lot of people that are moving back to town if they did move, you know, for job opportunities, and then they're moving back to live by family. So I think that's the biggest difference when you are in the Houston market or even Rockport, Corpus Christi is a coastal community, second homes, retirement community. So a lot of people in Houston weren't from there. They were moving in. They didn't know a realtor. They didn't know anyone in town. So when I would get the phone calls, they're like, great, you're great. We love you. We like you. Let's do this. And then moving down by Rockport, it was the same way. The majority of my clients were San Antonio, Houston, Austin, or anywhere in that 2 to 3 hour radius that they were looking for. Hey, we want to, a beach getaway. We want a vacation rental. We want an Airbnb. We want a second home. And they would come. So it was actually a lot easier going into a community that you didn't know anyone, I guess you can say, for that reason. And then moving here, you just get a lot of people that were born here, raised here, went to high school. So I think that was the biggest difference in the two markets and in comparison.
So you feel like that kind of puts you at a little bit of a disadvantage when it came to the being able to break into the market?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, I guess you can say, a lot of realtors in every state. But again, it's the 80-20 rule in life. You know, there are 20% of the realtors that do 80% of the work. So I wasn't really concerned because I'd already knew how to grow my business in a market I didn't know anywhere. So I think at that point when, you know, I've been licensed since 2008, you can build your real estate business anywhere if you've had success and you already have done it once or twice moving into different markets. Yeah, I mean, just transitioning over to that was a little bit different. I purchased leads because I was in a new market. I was like, I have to learn how to do this and learn the market and meet people. And I did, you know, purchase leads. So I continued the same thing when I moved to the Lafayette area.
I got you. And what did that look like for you with, like, purchasing leads? Where were you getting the majority of your leads from?
I mean, Zillow. I mean, I think the leads are a little bit different on Zillow. Obviously, it's changed since 2008. Everything has really changed in our, you know, industry since then. But, you know, Zillow, I've done Realtor.com, also Market Leader. I've done Market Leader as well. So just a few different buyer leads and seller leads and I guess it's considered like a referral, but it's the businesses that will send you the leads and you pay the 25% off of the referral because they're getting the leads and basically just giving it back to the realtor. So,
right. Which, what would you say was the one that was strongest for you?
Oh, I think Zillow. I mean, the ROI on Zillow was always great. I think, again, it looks differently now, but it was always, I think the majority of the buyers were searching there. So that's why, you know.
Gotcha. Is that something that you're still doing now? Or,
yes,
or you've kind of backed off a little bit?
Okay. No, I do.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
I just like to have a presence in the Youngsville zip code. So I still do that as well. Most of the Zillow leads too, again, I stay in touch with all of my clients. And if I've met them one time, I'm usually doing 3 to 4, you know, closings and transactions with a Zillow lead years later. So it really just continues to pay for itself.
Right.
And or they start buying investment properties. Yeah.
No, mm-hmm. I know. And a lot of our office, a lot of the realtors in our office too, have built quite a nice business based on Zillow leads. So mm-hmm. I think it's a great opportunity, you mm-hmm. know.
I've always said when I've talked to other agents or newer agents, you know, if you can, because again, it can be costly. I do partner with a lender that pays half. I've always done that.
Right.
Which helps. they, you know, they get business, I get business, we work together, we work the leads together. But I always say it's like a pie. Like, where do you want your pieces of your pie to be? You know, it can't be just all your eggs in one basket, you know, staying in touch with your clients, your database, growing your referrals. You know, if you want it, if you want purchasing leads to be part of your pie, you know, if you want open houses to be, you know, part of your pie,
right.
Just, you know, figuring out what works for you and what is, you know, where you can meet more people and build your database.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about how you stay in touch with your database.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, so many ways I've learned through training and classes and events and is, you know, going back to the basics, 36 touch, you know, touching your clients 36 times through the year with email, text, phone calls, calling them as well is important just as much as text, postcards, client events, birthdays, anniversaries, thank yous, you know, week, monthly email. So just really everything all in once.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, because mm-hmm. And I like the 36 touch thing. So that's a per year thing, right?
Correct. Yes.
Gotcha. So you're mm-hmm. trying to at least find a way to touch them 36 times, which is, you know, right. Hey, if you can hit that number,
yeah.
I mean, definitely you're getting that call when it mm-hmm. comes time for somebody to list or buy or potentially even their family.
Yes, and I don't want them to forget about me.
Yeah, for sure. We don't want that either. Another thing that you've had some success with is like your schedule, you know, like, and I think that's a common thing, a theme around the podcast is mm-hmm. is the success schedule. So talk to us a little bit about your schedule and how mm-hmm. you juggle everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, with three kids, it keeps it pretty busy. So you have to be creative. There are certain times of the days as a mom, you know, anyone that has children knows that I might go missing for a couple hours. So, you know, it may be where my clients know that they can get in touch with me at 7 or 8 o'clock because I might have disappeared from 3 to 5 or I think help and leverage for a mom. And my husband has been working away since November. So lots of help and leverage, partnering and teaming up because I do have a team. So I do have someone that helps me with my paperwork and then a showing assistant as well. And that helps with scheduling and allowing me to help my clients and be there for my clients all the time. Even when I'm not there, they have someone else they can call or someone else to help. Yes, I think real estate in general is very transient. You know, if you're on vacation, we're still working, we're taking calls. Ever since COVID, people are Zoom a lot more. And it's the same thing for Texas. I have great partners that I work with there that I team up with if I can't physically be there. I do make trips down. It's, you know, down to the Rockport area. It's about 6 hours from Lafayette, which is to me not that far because we're used to driving all the time.
Right.
It's always funny because my family says, are you and your husband ever in the same car? You always drive separately. You're always driving. We're just driving all the time. We're always on the road. So driving there is not a problem. And we did spend 10 years there. So we formed friends that are like family. So it's nice. I get to get away, do business while I'm there, have dinner with my friends. And but the key too is having great realtors to partner with that are able to help and service my clients as well if I physically cannot be there.
Nice. Yeah, mm-hmm. I like that. So tell us a little bit about, I know when we chatted a little bit before, you were talking about like how small town it was down like in that beach community. So talk to us a little bit about what it looked like because they were like way behind on the times, right?
Coming from the Houston market with the super boxes, you know, to access the homes. It's the key system to access homes. Moving there at the time, you had to sign out a key, physically sign out a key. And it's not a large town. It's grown a lot since, you know, we moved there in 2008. But we had to go to the individual offices and sign out the key and schedule the appointments and put it in a book.
Yeah.
And so I was like, there has to be a more efficient way we could be doing this.
Right.
But they didn't at the time. They're still not on Supra. They're using CenturyLock, which is a different, newer system. It's just different. Also because you do get a lot of out of town realtors that show. So if they are not in our MLS, then they can't access the super system. So it was also is why they went to Century Lock, because you can give a 1-day code to show the house if you're dealing with a lot of out of town realtors. Because again, it's your retirement community, very transient, out of town buyers. And sometimes out-of-town realtors that aren't a part of those realtor systems.
Gotcha. That's so interesting. Yeah, it's kind of like whenever I first got into the business, it was crazy. Like, I just couldn't believe that we operated that way. It was like, go pick up a key, go drop it off, go, you know, whatever.
And keep track
of
the keys, right? Yeah. Like, even to this day, I'm like, if I have multiple keys everywhere, you know, it can definitely get confusing when you're showing 8-10 houses. You know, maybe you're showing 20 houses over the entire weekend. So it did. So I was happy whenever they converted over to more of lock boxes in the Century Lock. It made it a lot more efficient. So.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I know. I remember I drove one time on a foreclosure. I drove way farther than I normally go. It was like an hour and a half. It was like crazy far. Mm-hmm. And I just drove to this rural area. And I put the lock box on. I remember putting it on. I put it on the door, everything else. I'm getting changed, ready for a shower, put my hand in my pocket. And what's in my pocket? The key to the house.
Yes.
That was like an hour and a half away. I'm like, golly. Anyway, I had another friend help me get that key back.
Speaking of keys, I was on vacation, and we all know as realtors, when you go on vacation, you go under contract and buyers want to buy and you're getting offers for your listings. And the realtor went to show a property and she said, the key is not in the box. And I said, well, it should be. Well, let me get in touch with the last realtor that showed the house. But I wasn't in town and my sellers weren't in town. They can't access the box. So the other realtor said, no, it's not me. I've never done that. It's back in the box. And I said, well, it's not there, but I'm not there. So I said, when I get back, I'm going to go to the house. Went back to the house. The key was wedged against the two sides and she couldn't see that it was in there because it wasn't shaking. So it was in there the whole time.
Yeah.
But you just couldn't see it because it was on the back of, the inside of the box. So
I gotcha.
That was
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, all that hooray over, you know.
All of that. So then I was like, sorry to accuse you of not putting the key back in. But it was in there the whole time. So everyone was, it happens. It happens with keys and keeping track of it all. So, but even now, they don't utilize showing time, which, we use in the Lafayette area, showing time. And in Houston, they use showing time. They still don't use showing time system. So it's, you're keeping track of all the showings and agents that are texting and calling you for showings versus showing time, keeping it all in one spot and then having the feedback and it making it simple. So they haven't transitioned to showing time.
Yeah.
Either, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Getting
I know.
There.
It's got to be crazy.
It's a slower process.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, we always like to, on the podcast, talk about what ways, if a new agent was listening to the podcast, in what ways would they grow their business? And you've given a lot of great tips and everything on how you juggle your business. But tell us a little bit about, like, if I was a new agent listening to this podcast, like, in what way would you tell a new agent?
I deal with, with starting a team and having newer agents on my team. And with Keller Williams, they have a mentor program as well. And I enjoy helping new agents because I was there once and I know it can be pretty overwhelming. And I like to tell them, you're going to, learn so many things and so many systems and get so much that's thrown your way. I've had newer agents say, I don't have a Facebook. I don't really do social media. I'm going to set it up and I'm going to get into it. And I tell them, you don't have to do that. I mean, I live in the social media world, so it's very easy for me, but I can't imagine the time it would take if I wasn't to do that. So I always tell them, focus on a couple of things that you can do that you like to do and you enjoy to do, whether it be open houses or working expired listings or for sale by owners, and focus or calling your database. If you're from here and you have a what they call a sphere of influence, a large family here. Start there with something that's going to be a little bit more enjoyable, right, than trying to teach yourself social media and do that. Because if you're not in that world, it could suck up so much time for you. Or same thing when they get inundated with, you know, trying to create this website. Well, you're not a website designer, you know. Right. Let's do the activities that are going to get you a paycheck the soonest. And what are those activities that are going to build your database, instead of getting caught up with, you know, other things that you're really just teaching yourself, you know, from the beginning because you're not familiar with. So,
yeah. And I think realtors just in general, especially new realtors, they're not used to being business owners. So mm-hmm. they don't know what they should be doing. Mm-hmm. But I always caution new realtors in the mm-hmm. sense of getting on social media because, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of room for playing around or not mm-hmm. being efficient. And then the ROI on that is very low mm-hmm. too, until you really get like established too.
Exactly.
Now like younger agents, I think they're obviously, if I'd have to recommend mm-hmm. where to start a real sure. estate business, social sure. media would be the platform. But, mm-hmm. you know, I feel like they want to do the fun stuff. Everybody wants to do the fun stuff. They want mm-hmm. to do the social media posts or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, look, what about picking up the phone? Mm-hmm. Like, you got to use the phone anyway to generate business. You know, back when you were selling phone books, right? Right. Like, what's the best way to
exactly.
do it?
Exactly.
You got to get on the phone.
I mean, we were business to business. We were walking in and meeting with, you know, and I think
and that same strategy would work in real estate.
Right. And I think, too, with the social media as well, I hired a part-time assistant. She had graduated from UL. It was amazing. She was working for me, you know, 20 hours a week. She was doing all the graphic design and advertising for the team. And she was like, man, your Instagram has no traction. And I said, well, I'm 40, whatever I was at that time. I said, and my generation lives in
right,
Facebook.
Right.
I mean, we started with Facebook. So that makes sense. You know, do I want to grow my audience in Instagram? But I know it's a different age group there. And just like my daughter's 15, she's going to be in a different age group and a different social media aspect of where she gets her information. So I think, you know, I know Facebook is where my age group is at. And, you know, if I want to get more particular on the next generation to attract, it would be, okay, Instagram, let me go. But also my daughter's 15 and they're not really using Instagram for that. So it's going to be a different, it changes so fast to keep up with it all. But again, it goes back to sticking with one thing, two things, two or three things that work.
Right.
And just actually doing it.
Yeah.
And don't get caught up. It goes back to the schedule. I'm going to do this for 1 hour and then I'm turning it off.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to do this for 1 hour and then I'm going to tour homes for 1 hour. So you just can't spend 4 hours on being in your website because that's not going to, you know, get the connections that you need to start your business. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's where it comes down to just doing things that are comfortable. And mm-hmm. I think most agents want to do things that's comfortable, right? And not make those calls mm-hmm. and not door knock and not go into the businesses and all that stuff when what really needs to happen.
I really love business to business sales. And I don't know why I don't do that in my business anymore.
You should.
I should.
You know, you should. Get out, hit them streets again.
I liked it because I like to be face to face.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a mom in real estate and a crazy schedule, I was getting frustrated with, oh gosh, like I had all this planned and now you're sick and this, and, yeah. and then, it's that one saying, and I'm probably going to mess it up, but you know, how you look, when you look at things, it changes. How you look at things differently, it changes. And one day I said, you know what? I'm still going to get this done. But I had, I think it was business to business and I was going to drop things off. And then I learned how to just look at it differently. And this is how you need to incorporate your business now.
Right.
And yes, you have to go to the dentist now for your touts tooth, but now you're just dropping off stuff at the dentist. Like you get all these, if you look at it differently, and I started looking at it differently, like now I get all these different opportunities and I have to rework my business of where I'm at in my life and in my season And instead of getting frustrated, oh, I had all this planned and I was supposed to do this, I just had to rework it into where my life was taking me at that time.
So, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I like that. Because, I mean, look, you know, obviously you could ramp it back up and be door-to-door sales and probably increase in that area of the pie. But it's just trying to figure out what you want out of your business. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of real estate. Like, you get what you put in, but you... Mm-hmm. will also consistently get something out if you're consistently putting something in. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of what you're doing, too, is you're consistently putting things into your business and staying in touch with your people, hitting your 36 touches a year, you know, really trying to stay in touch with people, juggling both Texas and Louisiana, which is totally crazy.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, it's been fun. And when I... you know, moved to Louisiana, gave us a little time to get settled, and then decided I'm going to jump back into Texas and really, really grow this as well and maintain staying in touch with my clients and being of value to them. And I love when someone calls, and I did property management while I was doing real estate in Rockport as well. And I love when people call and they remember and they're like, oh, you lived in my, you know, the condos and I want to sell and I would love to utilize you. It just, you know, it makes me feel honored that they think of me and trust in me enough to do that you know, from a state away and still very present. And I think, again, getting on the phone, staying in touch with them and doing the work that needs to be done to help them.
And this will probably be our last little topic, but did you... do you feel that you're like at a disadvantage from being here in Louisiana, in Lafayette, and then, you know, for your Texas business? Do you feel like you're at a major disadvantage for like physically being located here?
I don't. I think the perception could, because I feel like the way I handle my business, I can do just as much as any local agent or more. I think, again, to be successful in it and grow it, the partnering up with someone is 100% the key, because I can't do this by myself. So when I was growing that business in Texas, I had a few interviews with agents down there to that really I felt resonated with who I was as an agent and how I like to take care of my clients. And they're a huge part of it to make it grow and to make it successful, because I couldn't do it without them. So
yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess if somebody's juggling multiple states, they need to really find somebody with similar vision and similar styles, and
that other agents, whether they're new or not new or struggling or maybe not struggling, I think because I have so much experience and I've been doing this, you know, since 2008. They learn a lot. They learn a lot. And I'm at their disposal as well. So I think it's a two-way street. They're helping me. I'm helping them. They're learning a lot as well. And I love doing that. I like pouring into other agents too, because it keeps me on my toes and keeps me accountable as well. So I hope they find it valuable. And they do. They call me. I have agents that I worked with, you know, in Rockport, and they still call me to this day, like, I want to know what you would do in this situation. So so it's nice whenever they do that.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think you and I share the same heart for you know, taking care of agents and giving back with of our knowledge and everything else. And that's the beauty of the in our area in Acadiana is agents are so willing to share, you know, and come on a podcast and share their stories and things that are working for them and and with other realtors without any hope of anything coming from that. Just, hey, here's what I know. Love to share it with you. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, we're all in this together to elevate the industry and help each other. And, you know, the goal is, you know, we're here to help people buy homes and sell homes ultimately. So I like to be a great co-op agent, and I like to work with my clients to stay focused. I had a client this week that got very heated over an inspection report, and he said, "You can tell him." I said, "This is why some people shouldn't sell their houses themselves."
Right.
He also had a few cocktails at the airport. So I said, "Could you imagine if you were dealing with your buyer right now?"
Yeah. Well, they would be gone.
Right? Oh, they would be gone. Your deal would be killed. You would have killed your deal. So I said, "Well, you know, it's all right." Because it's a very emotional process, and we know that. And we're able to be the mediator of, let's take the emotions out. Let's sleep on it for 24 hours. We don't have to have an answer. And let's really look at this with a clear head. And we could be the unbiased, unemotional, aspect in that. That's what we get paid for.
Yeah. Therapists, right? Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So, but it's so great.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I love that. And I really, really appreciate you come and join us on the podcast. It was a pleasure to have you, and it was fun visiting with you and hearing your stories about
Texas and Louisiana.
So, so if you need a good agent in Rockport,
Rockport, Corpus Christi, in Houston, MLS,
or a great agent here in Louisiana.
That's right. There's a lot, but I appreciate you having me and, let me tell my story. So
yeah, I think
hopefully
people
it
are
was
gonna,
helpful.
I think it is. People are gonna love it. So I appreciate you being on the podcast, and we will talk to you guys very soon.